The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Shalom. That's it. Last night, everybody responded with a great shalom. I was surprised. Honestly, I didn't expect you to say anything, but one or two of you did. Shalom, as you know, is the standard Jewish greeting. Whether you're Jewish or not, a Jewish person will say to you, "Shalom," or maybe "Shalom Aleichem," "Peace be with you." Just how Jesus greeted his disciples in his day, so today do Jews greet all others in that way. You know, there's one thing about greeting. I think they're often said without thinking. Now, one of my pet peeves is when you go to, you're driving late at night, everything is closed, you stop at a convenience store, you pay the clerk, he or she says to you, "Have a nice day." And I say, "Look outside, day's long over, at least wish me a good night." Empty words sometimes. But Jesus doesn't repeat himself much in the Gospels. He generally says what he needs to say and gets to the point. Except today. Today he repeats himself three times. Three times we heard him say, "Peace be with you." For Jesus to repeat himself that way, I think it means we need to pay extra special attention. You know, this gospel begins with the words, "On the evening of that day." That day. Did you ever have a that day? A day that changed everything? Perhaps it was your wedding day, or your graduation day, or the day met the love of your life. Someone commented yesterday that it was the day day they gave birth to their first child. Maybe it was the day you left a dead-end job and found a new job that put you on a much better track. One of those kinds of days is that day, a day that changes everything. Well, this day described in the gospel was that day for the disciples. They were basically hiding because they were afraid. Their Lord and their Master was just brutally executed, and they were afraid they would be next. Further, they ran like cowards in his final moments. Okay, one returned, the beloved disciple, but the other 10 were not witnesses to the crucifixion because they were afraid. And so they abandoned their Lord. If you had abandoned someone who was your teacher, your Lord, your Master for 3 years, someone who you believed and professed to be the Messiah, someone you saw walk on water, someone you saw raise someone from the dead, and so many other amazing wonders, and then left him alone to die on a cross. Should you encounter that person again, I suspect a very natural human emotion would be not only fear, but shame. And so, by Jesus, his first words to them saying, "Peace be with you," is telling them, do not be afraid. To quell the fears that these disciples must have been feeling. But that's all fine and well. This is not just a history lesson of what happened on that day for the disciples. What do those words mean to you? It's the big question. What do the words, "peace be with you," mean for us today? I think to understand what Jesus meant, we really need to look deep inside ourselves, in that place where our fear resides. Is there anyone here today who is not afraid of someone? Something? I think when it comes down to it, most of us are afraid most of the time. We just have other words for it today. We call it stress. We call it anxiety. We call it worry. So like those disciples, we're not all that different. We too find ourselves afraid a lot. Oh, maybe you're not afraid right now, at this moment, but what if something were to change radically? What if something happened in your life? What if something happened in your life that would make you afraid? That's why the words of Jesus to his disciples, these words of "peace be with you," extend to us as well, not just to the disciples. That's why the gospel includes this episode to Thomas. Poor Thomas. He's gone down in history known as Doubting Thomas. He corrected that. He should go down in history as Believing Thomas, because he makes one of the greatest professions of faith found anywhere in the Gospels when he turns to Jesus and says, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Do you know that this is the only place in the Gospel of John where Jesus is actually called God? Thomas simply wants some sort of assurance, some sort of empirical proof before he will believe
that Jesus is actually raised from the dead.
Oh, yeah.
Say, he should have known, he should have believed. After all, Jesus told them he would come back from the dead. He performed countless miracles to verify his divine identity. But I think, on the other hand, Thomas gets kind of a bad rap. There's a certain reasonableness in demanding some kind of evidence for belief. The church does this all the time. When they look, when they examine someone for the cause of sainthood, the church will withhold judgment until there are some verifiable miracles attributed to the person in question, so that they can use these to forward their cause for canonization. And that's because the church believes in the use of reason. Faith and reason go together, although faith transcends reason. And so what's happening here is Jesus speaking to us, is calling us to go beyond Thomas and believe, even when we can't see those concrete evidence that Thomas saw. He even pronounces a blessing on us when he says, "Blessed are those who believe but have not seen." And what is it that we are to believe? Very simply, peace be with you, which is the same, do not be afraid. That's what peace be with you means. To have peace is not to be afraid. Do you know that expression, "I've got your back"? It's essentially what Jesus is telling all of us across these many centuries that have passed since that day. He is saying that if you remain faithful to me, you never have to be afraid again. He's saying, "I've got your back. No matter what happens in your life, you can access that peace that Jesus gives both his disciples and us when he returns from the resurrection, because he offers it to us as a gift." And that's what this Sunday of Divine Mercy, is all about. Take a look at this image in front of me. This image, now very famous image of Divine Mercy. Perhaps you know that Saint Faustina Kowalska, a Polish nun, worked with an artist, actually a couple of artists, to try to capture. She had visions of our Lord, and she worked with the artist to try to capture what our Lord looks like. And after many trials, this, she said, best captures what she saw. This is it. One day, her confessor asked her to ask the Lord of the meaning of those two rays that you see in the picture. So she did. At prayer that evening, St. Faustina asked the Lord, and these were the words she heard in her heart. Our Lord said to her, "The two rays denote blood and water. The pale white ray stands for the water which makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood which is the life of souls. These two rays issue forth from the very depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened on the cross. Mankind will not have peace." Did you catch that? "Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. Proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God." Wow. Proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. just like those fearful disciples on that day. Regardless of what one may have done in their life, there is no sin whatsoever that is beyond God's mercy when the repentant sinner turns to Him. It's the very essence of what peace be with you is all about. I hope that many of you will be able to return today at 2:30 when we celebrate divine mercy, when we drink more deeply from this fountain of unfathomable love. You know, Pope Francis recently said, mercy expresses God's way of reaching out to the sinner, offering him a new chance to look at himself, to convert, and to believe. Divine mercy offers to each of us a that day. That day that changes